Words and settling. Don't need no training. University explaining. We refraining from your former legend.
Awakening mind.
Spitting for freedom, alleviating your demons while they're plotting and scheming. I'm intervening in their rhetoric. I got your medicine, let them in with the veteran knowledge that get you better, like natural herbs and settling. Don't need no training, university explaining. We refraining from your formal education and remaining in the moment, like history frozen among birds.
Yo, we press demos in the racks, plug them in the back, up the funnel jacks, hit the shows, and turn it up the max, and let the beat crack, and we grab the mic and let you know what we care for, therefore, everybody's knowing what we're here for, and I'm not scared for, I'm prepared for, spit what you war fear for.
But it will inspire you to correct your vision and your view before they get down.
We getting turned up.
Yo, how's it going? I got one of my great friends and great colleagues in the One Great Work Warriors and part of just overall collaborating on the great work, Chris Jansen of End Evil Podcasts. And I had to have him on because one of the few friends within these, you know, circles and networks who have actually met in real life. And it's been, I've spent like at least 2 weeks with this brother up in Northern California, Redding, near my Shasta, California. And I had to bring him on to kind of reminisce on my past visit last month and also to speak about what's going down in 2 months. On February 22nd, as well as the 23rd, the online conference of Freedom Under Natural Law.
I'd say it's less about what's going down and more about what's coming up, because the idea is to inspire people to take the action in the world, right? To care enough to get involved and be a part of the change in the world. That's what I've been encouraging with my podcast for 3 years and for three Freedom Under Natural Law conferences, trying to encourage the excitement to really for people to focus on what needs to change in ourselves and in the world around us to not keep living in this cyclical, evil, murderous, thievery, you know, rapery of the world, of the environment and each other, the way we have been for oh too long, you know. But yeah, thanks for having me, Derek. It's good to be here, brother.
Oh yeah, Chris. And yeah, you mentioned a lot there. And yeah, it is hard to stomach all the, I mean, people think like, oh, why is society murderous? Well, how many animals are, you know, getting slaughtered per year, and all the wars going on and all these things? Our healthcare systems are letting us down. The insurance and interest rates on all these things are ridiculous. Laughing at that because him and I were talking about that earlier. It's very interesting, right? But yeah, to not get too ahead, I just want anyone out there wondering, like, funnel, like, Freedom Under Natural Law, what is this all about? So I got to ask you first and foremost, as, like, one of the main members at the helm of organizing this from pretty much day one, correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah, what was it all about, you know, and how were you and folks like Leslie and Will Keller involved as the nucleus and had other folks contributing and cooperating? Is that the word?
Corroborate.
Yeah. I'm making it all happen. Yeah.
Well, and then there's collaborate, right? Two L's or two R's are a little different, but
yeah,
we corroborated and we collaborated to make that stuff happen. It started out like the group was called like Natural Law. It was actually a support group when I first got involved. It was meeting weekly. Cindy was a big help on getting that group. She started it, and it evolved and changed, you know. And we were going through a struggle for a while in getting anybody else to show up. And I was like, let's kind of rebrand, right? And then that was when I made a commercial, a video, just a, like a live, you know, hey, I'm Chris and starting a mastermind group. I made it, advertise it more like an action group, people that wanted to take action based on Mark Passio's teachings of natural law. And so based on a shared agreement on the definition that Mark gives of natural law, the inherent binding condition that concerns human interaction, basically, and the outcome of that human interaction, and, you know, natural law being that binding condition, and that we're experiencing the outcome. And then the law of freedom, the concept that if we all keep doing evil things, if we all keep breaking the law, the natural law of the universe, in it, which amounts to stealing, basically, that we're going to be experiencing trauma. We're going to be experiencing not good conditions, you know, uncomfortable conditions. And so we're kind of like, we're all agreeing on this basic underlying understanding that natural law is a good way to look at our world, and it's a good thing to educate one another and talk about and learn about till we all understand this is reality. Reality is made up of moral choices from our point of view as humans. And so we're like, well, what can we do? You know, instead of just talking about how frustrating it is to realize this in a world that doesn't seem to realize this, what can we do about it? Was always my question. And so in being an action group, a mastermind group, it kind of fell upon me to keep pushing that agenda to an extent. And luckily, some of the people in the group were like action taker type individuals. Like John Rowland was an original member, and he was out there like going on street corners, wanting to talk to people about natural law. Will Keller was just jumped right in there and started, you know, helping with creating graphics. And we started planning this event, you know, like, why can't we do a conference, you know? Was the question. It was like, because we were inspired by the Seed Conference put on by Brandon Martin and the help of Nate Kapp and Douglas Martin. And those guys were so inspiring.
Cubbyhole.
Yeah, cubbyhole.com and seedtruth.com. They were so inspiring that I was like, we could do that. You know, we can do an online conference. And Will's like, yeah, I got the tech, you know. And I was like, let's start doing it, you know? So, yeah, Freedom Under Natural Law was born. And Will made that first really neat logo. And he did all of the graphics at first.
Oh, cool. So this logo, the funnel, that's him and everything, yeah?
That was Will.
That even was the backdrop that we're looking at right now? Or is that you?
No, now this one I started getting over the years.
Wow, man. Yeah, yeah.
Over the years, I've started really pushing myself to where I wanted to be part of the graphics team.
Yeah.
You know, and more and more, Will's kind of like, yeah, that looks pretty good. Hey, that's all right. Hey, I like that. Let's use it, you know? And he's kind of let me in and allowed me to start helping with the creative aspects on the some of the images and stuff. And I have all along, but just more and more as I've gotten better at it, because he kind of had some experience in doing, like, back in his days, doing producing things and events and stuff. So he was kind of familiar with a lot of this stuff, and he was always a little more technical.
Too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but so before the funnel, there was the NFL, that real shit, right?
Yeah.
The Natural Freedom League, right?
Oh, I thought you meant the football league.
Yeah, no. That's what it was called, right? Natural Freedom League.
Well, Will Keller and John joined together, and they were doing the Natural Freedom League
for that as well. Sorry,
but during Funnel One, we had kind of a whole completely different set of people at that time involved,
right, yeah.
And so we were like, well, let's kind of come up with a group name for our group, all six of us or whatever we were at that time. I don't remember how many now. Might have been seven. We'd have to look back at the Funnel One, which is, folks want to look it up, freedomundernaturallaw.com. All three conferences are still in there, the replays, and you just scroll through and check it all out. It's been fun looking back at them, and I'm planning on putting out a series of cool clips from past conferences. I've been getting some really kick-ass help from our friend Tony on Facebook. And so he's been cutting out like cool clips from the earlier ones, but,
Mancuso?
Yeah.
Word up. Yeah. Wake of Truth, I think his YouTube channel is.
Yeah. He's been kicking butt. He's like a behind the scenes volunteer helper for Funnel 4.
That's awesome.
We're going to definitely give him some credit for doing that. So, yeah, but the point, where was I going with that? The reason I was talking about all that was because we were talking about how Funnel 1 got started, I guess, right?
Yeah. And how it got built up from all these different collaborative efforts of other people under whatever little names and individuals and all that
stuff. Oh, you were asking about Natural Freedom League. We had Natural Freedom Alliance. That's what I was getting at.
Ah, okay. Ah, nice.
We had a whole nother symbol for Natural Freedom Alliance.
Mm.
But we kind of dropped that after Funnel 1 or Funnel 2 somewhere in there, because the whole group kind of changed and it wasn't a representative name anymore of who we were. So we just let that go. And so it was an evolutionary process and of creating these conferences.
Yeah, totally. And I'm just as the technology has evolved and this and that, and just, you know, the learning curves of that and what you're able to acquire at whatever time to make do with what you got, you know, when the time comes to host these online conferences. And so, yeah, what's it like, you know, being at the, you know, the station and all hands on deck, right? And all this stuff. So, yeah, if you care to run a little bit through of how that goes and just, yeah, I mean, it takes a ton of just organizing and networking and keeping tabs on every single guest and all that stuff, right? So,
yeah, it's just a lot of excitement. You get, you know, you get so into it. And then like the weekend when it finally happened, every time it was just like by the end of the weekend, just exhausted, you know, like so much attention's being used, like watching every comment, like, are we working on the different channels, like communicating with people, right? Like the last minute issues we've had, you know, there's always going to be something that goes wrong. And then, yeah, communicating with the different speakers, and it's a lot, really. A lot goes into it. And I can imagine better now that after doing this, what it would be like to organize like a real in-person event. Man, a lot of logistics, you know? And but it's been so fun that it's a lot of work too. it was like after Funnel 3, I would have liked to done Funnel 4 like the very next year, you know, or maybe we were hoping to keep doing them like 2 a year even. But we just kind of hit a wall where all of our lives got really busy, and there weren't as many of our group members that were interested in helping as there were previously. And so we kind of lost some steam, and kind of like after experiencing those other conferences, it's like, man, we better plan it out and make sure we got the energy and the resources to do it, you know, because Funnel 3, we really pushed hard on that one. And like we had a live session with Mark Passio and Etienne de la Beauté, where they were actually at the Porcupine Festival, being recorded and transmitted from the Autonomy tent at the festival, where, you know, where like Richard Grove and the Autonomy folks were. It was exciting, man. It was just like, what a buzz, you know? And it's weird. We just looking back now at some of the outtakes and the videos and clips of that stuff, like it's hard to believe that all really happened. Like that was us. We did that, you know? So it's like, it feels not completely real, but I'm really proud of everything that has happened since we started. It's amazing. I would have never believed it possible, you know, before that we were going to be able to do that, you know?
Yeah, the Funnel 3 conference was awesome, and I was so happy and honored to be a part of that, and not just putting out my little music mixes, kind of rock and shocking the folks over there, but throwing out a couple advertisements or little intermission type of thing, and you know, collaborating real quick with like Doran Greens, like, hey, I want a cool like sensual feminine voice to kind of have a couple clips of just like, hey, this is, you know, Funnel Conference, there's all, check out the merch, or you know, support the presenters, the you know, the organizers and all that jazz. Cause, yeah, it takes a lot of work, as you said. And, they're, you know, tech gremlins are, you know, might be lurking around. You never know. Or just, you know, anything could happen regardless of that, or just, you know, like little blunders that any given person can make at any given time, sometimes, depending on whatever technology they're working with. So, yeah, like with that in mind, like what were also other like challenges of, you know, making it happen, like on the spot, like you're live and direct for like, these conferences go for 10 fucking hours, right? Per day. So yeah, man, like,
well, we learned that there is sort of a cap, like it works best to actually keep it more like 8 hours a day. After 8 hours, forgot which platforms, some of them start, will only let you live stream for so many hours. And so we had that problem more than once, and we didn't understand exactly why the stream stopped, you know, like the first time it happened, or it'll stop on one platform, you know, and you're like, did we get, you know, I think we've gotten stopped because of a censorship issue, but right, we're never sure. Like it's not 100%. So, you know, there's been some of those, but I'd say the harder part of it is leading up to it, getting all the presentations done and turned in. Like, you know, you got people that are spending a lot of time and energy into creating these presentations, and they're not getting paid for it. None of us are getting paid for it. It's just free. It's because we want to volunteer our time because we care about it. So you don't really want to be like yelling at people like, we need to get this turned in on time. But on the other hand, like a lot of folks did kind of push it to the last minute, at each conference. And so that was always tricky. And then, but Will's such a smooth, like calm character. He doesn't get worked up easy. And he was our main engineer in terms of the streaming. He was streaming it all from his place, and he had a backup plan. And he just always seems like he's not bothered by stuff. Like, it's cool, we got it, you know? Even when, like, he had the biggest snafu of all, his presentation was, like, the headline presentation, and it had a problem that he didn't realize until during the conference, and he had to, like, basically not play it. And, like, he was so, like, cool about it. You know, I would have been mortified, but I'm sure he was embarrassed, but he's a smooth cat. He knows how to handle things, you know? And so he did good at handling all that last-minute stuff. But it's a lot of pressure once you get into making a presentation. And I'd say that's probably the hardest thing, is like, there's no, like, it's not like school where there's a boss or a teacher saying, this is what has to be. And when to turn it in, here's the parameters. It's like, it's all up to you. And that leaves so much room that it's hard not to be your own judge and be like, that's not good enough, I need to fix it. I need to know it needs to be better. And then you keep listening to it and going back. And then you're like, well, how far am I going to go with this? You know, maybe I should have done it all different. And you find these times where you've been working on it for hours and hours, and you're like, maybe I should start over. And so I think all the presenters go through that to an extent.
Yeah, definitely. And I've definitely done similar things with so many works in the past. And yeah, like with my music mixes, like I consider those kind of like the tapestries of truth in like a musical presentation format, in a sense, and especially when I add visuals to that. But yeah, like aside from my stuff or whatever, like, yeah, I was thinking about this, you know, trying to compile my ideas about how I'm going to do my presentation. And thinking about how, yeah, it kind of relates to, like, yeah, students in school trying to write a thesis or do, like, a presentation if they're taking public speech courses, which I've actually taken in the past. And I was wretched at it, like, like, 15 years ago, you know, once upon a time. I had no confidence, but I feel like confidence was coupled with just my lack of knowledge and lack of kind of proper gnosis of self and love for self and that kind of stuff. So yeah, like these things kind of transcend together, I guess, if you will. And it's kind of in theme with inspiring care to action, because I wasn't necessarily acting right. I wasn't necessarily acting wrong, but I felt just kind of lukewarm, where, you know, as a fire sign, that's not my place to be, one of me, you know? So anyways, I kind of went off a tangent with that, but if you want to say anything to that, go for it. But yeah, I got plenty of questions to ask afterwards. So yeah.
You know, it is, being lukewarm in life is problematic. You know, there was like Jesus in the Bible was like, let your yes be yes and let your no be no, you know? And it's like, what do we call people who sit on the fence? Like, that's not a positive, to be someone who sits on the fence about things. And I feel like that's what this whole freedom under natural law and all the content you guys create, Dissolving the Divide, everything I create on And Evil Podcast, behind it is this urge, this push to people, like, to really, we have to mentally shift gears and we have to be all in on this love and freedom, caring about what matters thing and morality. We have to be all in. If you're part of the way and part of your mind is still like, yeah, but I also want to make sure that I have a good sized bank account and I don't lose my job with the precinct and blah, 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 you got one foot in some dicey, you're in a dicey position because there's a disagreement in your soul. There's two different radio stations playing and you're kind of in between the two stations trying to sort out, and it's like you're getting mixed messages and you're getting internal disagreements, which can manifest into physical freaking problems. So, you know, be all in terms of the principles of freedom, truth, you know, be all in on these philosophical hermetic concepts in terms of making up your mind about who to listen to, or what podcast is good and where it's not, or which theory about the shape of the planet, or all those things. Like, keep open-minded. Don't act like you know something you don't know. That's not being on the fence, keeping different theories in your mind and not having to decide on which one you agree with. That is not sitting on the fence. That's being open-minded. Sitting on the fence is knowing that something's good or bad, or having a feeling that something's good or bad and not investigating to find out because you don't really want to know the answer, or you're afraid of the answer, or you already know the answer and you're just choosing to kind of avoid it and steer clear of it for a while because you don't want to deal with it yet. You think you're going to deal with it later or something, right?
Yeah, well said, brother. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, you just throw me a word and I'll talk, bro. I'm like,
hell yeah, man. Yeah.
A yak machine. Just throw me a bone.
Like Brandon Spencer says, it's like that grandfather energy or whatever is clever. Yeah,
right, don't sit on my knee, Sonny. Tell you a story.
Yeah, man. So, Final Four, what's it really all about, man? And how'd you guys come to this conclusion? Because I know, you know, stemming from Final Three being at the Trivium, you guys were playing with the idea of, you know, moving to the fourth one. Obviously, evidently, there's the Quadrivium. So what made you guys deviate from that initial idea?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to remember that evolution, how that went. We were talking about calling it the Quadrivium, actually. But I don't know. We did a lot of playing with images. And I think really what we do is, between me and Leslie and Will, the three of us are philosophers. We're very much thinkers. And, you know, we're tossing around, like, what is it we're really trying to say? What is it we're really trying to do? You know? And, like, we're thinking about the progression. Like, Funnel One was just saying, like, what's freedom? What's freedom under natural law? Right. Funnel Two, the convergence was like, let's come together on this. Right. It's like, we know what this is. This is about freedom of humanity and a better future for humans. Right. Let's come together on this. And then the third one was like, okay, how do we make sense of all this? You know? And so that was like, in a way, it was taking a step back. Okay, we're all together. Let's look at the Trivium now. Let's think out how we're going to deal with all this information we have, all these wild theories and differing opinions out there. And, you know, we're trying to bring people together. How do we do that when it's so wackadoodle? Well, the Trivium was like giving us a method of thinking, step-by-step progress way of going through it. And so now we're kind of at that point where like, okay, we did that, you know, now what? We're going to bring people together again. What are we telling them this time? Well, we're ready for the next step. And when I think about myself, the presentations I made, that it's very in line with this, you know, like, I was trying to talk about humanity's most powerful weapon, which is our ability to work together, you know, if we could get past this morality thing, if we could be somewhat on the same page with morality, then we could work together in a cohesive way, right? And then so, yeah, it's one thing to understand things. It's one thing to get a bunch of people together and then having them understand it together at once, then what, you know? So this one's kind of more about the wisdom, which I see wisdom as action. And I feel like the conferences in themselves do already transmit that idea. We're taking action. We're doing something. But we've put a lot of information on the table in the last three conferences. So, you know, I think for me, what it inspiring care to action really means is like the same thing I was talking about in my the symbols of nature and the nature of symbols is there's different progressions we make on our awakening experience. It's one thing to wake up to the realization. It's another thing to see the problems in ourselves and do the shadow work of that. But the next step is to actually step through and start doing something that is for the bigger than you, you know, bigger than just your personal wants and desires. And that's what the step that brings in the whole universal momentum is when we start experiencing serendipity and we start experiencing synchronicity, because not only are we all looking at the same thing, we're all focused in the same direction, but we're taking steps. And that's kind of like, you know, I feel like that's where we have to be right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love what you mentioned with the whole progressions of awakening and taking it to the Trivium, the stepwise process, the threefold path, and how it, you know, okay. Yeah. Then there's the quadrivium, but you know, not bypassing the Trivium. Yeah. There's the, you know, getting all that knowledge, you know, all these presentations and all that information and also inspiring ways to process it and integrate it to have that proper rhetoric, that proper action, you know, wisdom, if you will, with, you know, applied knowledge, then, yeah, we're actually getting somewhere. And that does make sense in the progression of, you know, what you mentioned with how these conferences have been unfolding. And that's fucking awesome. And so, yeah, so what? We're not doing the Trivium. That doesn't matter. I wasn't hung up on that at all. but it's cool because, you know, all right, so quadrivium, you know, quad being four and funnel four, that makes sense. But also the generative principle also makes a lot of sense. Generative principle being care, right? As, you know, the headline of this conference. And so the generative principle in, you know, at least how Mark Passio puts it in his monumental natural law seminar, that is the lost principle that comes after the seventh hermetic principle of gender. And then there's the generative principle. Gender, generative, right? Never really thought about that all that much, but, you know, it makes sense. And so these things tie in together. And so it's a wonderful sequence of consciousness that you guys are cultivating. And I really applaud you guys. And yeah, just a pleasure and honor to just be with you guys to, even just bear witness to it all, you know, let alone participate in it a little bit. So, yeah.
Yeah. Like, and, you know, symbolically, the number four, it's like a number that it solidifies, you know, it's something solidified. Like you can imagine when you build a box, you know, it's a strong, solid foundation, right? It's balanced, it's grounded, you know, the four elements, fire, air, water, earth, you know, or the four directions, you know, like on the tarot card, you know. So the number four has a lot of, it's a sacred number, you know, and it has a lot of significance in terms of, like, I think of the human body. The number four, and what's interesting too, oh, this reminds me, I have a big announcement. This is a good time to start talking about this, because the number four also corresponds somewhat to Saturn. The Saturnian energy, when we change, and I'm doing my presentation on spiritual mathematics, so I really want to talk a lot about numbers and sacred geometry, and there's something very magical about kind of looking at the correspondence between numbers and the way numbers exist in all things. And number four is sort of a big leap from, with 3 points you can make a triangle, but 4 points you make a square. And a square, in a way, it's like the shape of the human body, right? And it's also the shape of us building something, construction. We tend to build using the square, and the square and the compass is one of the oldest and most mystical symbols, because, like, look at the stonemasons, right? It's understanding the Pythagorean theorem. And this is something that Nate Kapp talks a lot about too. And there's a lot to be said for the number four and the symbolic representation. But, you know, I think completeness and creative action is a good three simple words that carry a lot of what I'm trying to get across, you know? Beautiful. You know, it's not just standing around, right? The great work. It's not just standing around noticing problems. Anybody could do that. You know?
Yeah. It's just, and, you know, I've said it quite a bit, and other folks in network and other truth speakers, you know, just like navigating this reality. Well, that is action. We're moving, we're maneuvering, yet, you know, it's with, you know, all eyes open, you know, in the first eye being the heart, like the intelligence, the heart-based intelligence, as I like to put it. But, it's not often where you hear people get into details like, okay, we're navigating through reality, so how does one move about their daily type of thing? Like, from their bed to the toilet to the to the work spot, you know, during the commuting thing, and then back and forth. And how can they be that, you know, the positive change they're trying to influence into the world and stuff, and like avoid all the bullshit, you know, whether it be the mind control propaganda or like all the toxic food and other elements that have unfortunately been inverted and perverted, right? So yeah, I might get into that a little bit with my presentation. I'll just drop it right now, I guess, because I'll be speaking about being an activated individual, the real AI activated individual, in the face of, you know, the artificial intellect. And I'm going to get into that in regards to how it's a misnomer of calling it intelligence, because there's no generative principle in non-organic machinery, you know, despite all the machinations about it and whatever the fuck, you know. Machination, maquina muerte, in Spanish means death machine. Maquina is a machine. Muerte is death. And like machination, you know, is like kind of like maquina, mon ami. What it really be? I don't know, man. You tell me.
I know. And then here you and I are both using Macs. That's no good.
Yeah. Yeah, I just got a new Mac Mini. It's awesome. Yeah. So,
Oh, I remember the big announcement that I was going to make.
Ooh, yeah,
I
yeah.
To say that, because I was thinking about Saturn, and, you know, sometimes Saturn's associated with the number four or the number six. But there was a really cool episode on Saturn, and that was by Joey Phipps of Library of the Untold. And this is a channel I've been pretty interested in the last year, because he definitely he covers some very interesting topics. Some stuff that's kind of a little bit more on the fun, interesting side, but he also does start getting into some morality and philosophy of morality issues as well. And I've been pretty excited to see his shows getting so many views and so many people loving what he's creating. And it's got some real gems of learning in it. And he talks about our reality. And there's one recently put out called The Ringmakers of Saturn. And this is a YouTube channel called Library of the Untold. And he talked about that. We did a recent interview. And I'm going to play that interview on my show on the End Evil podcast on the Thursday before the Freedom Under Natural Law conference to kind of kick it off. It's going to be like a pre-party for a really exciting interview that I'm looking forward to playing. And you know, Joey's just got a real interesting different take on things. He's not from the Mark Passio people that a lot of us normally talk to, so he's got a kind of a different take on things, and it's interesting. But I love how he puts information together and presents it. And I think his YouTube channel is a real good example of someone like really putting information out into the world and taking action, you know. And then you don't always have to know all the answers to things to present people with, well, here's some things I found, you know, what do you think? You know, and that's what I think he does a really good job of, laying things out in front of you to make you wonder. And that's kind of like one of the steps to get people on this path towards caring, is to know all the factors involved. And this reality we're in is a lot stranger than you might think. Let me put it that way. And his channel is great at bringing that awareness.
Yeah, Library of the Untold. And yeah, it's cool to see his style and aesthetics and visuals and the way he makes his video edits and all that stuff. It's cool. And yeah, it's too bad you weren't able to get him on the conference, but that's awesome that you're, yeah, I mean, this is old.
I think I might still do, I gotta talk to him. We might be able to do like a bit in the conference with some of his stuff too.
Hell yeah.
But it won't be like a traditional presentation. He didn't have that much time on such short notice. But we're going to get somehow, I'm going to make some kind of compilation of some of his work that will show up in the conference too.
Word, yeah. I'm not coming with the traditional stuff, but I want to dabble into that tradition, of course, because, yeah, I haven't really done anything of that sort. So, yeah, I definitely want to deviate
from the traditional presentation. Yeah, yeah. So you're going to do something more that direction, you're thinking?
Yeah, yeah, I definitely want to throw in like a dozen slides and you know, cool, stick to that kind of script. But then, you know, I've already recorded something that I did in Paris for like just a couple minutes. And yeah, just like throw in little segments and maybe a little music and mischief or whatever the hell. Mixed chief. I'm sorry, you know.
Well, you know me, I can never go 100% traditional. My last, you know, I'm either doing a rap song or a rat scrap.
Yeah. That was dope, man. I love the fact you're, yeah, like pushing your own boundaries and doing stuff out of the ordinary amongst, you know, the peers that are kind of sticking to that script. And there's nothing wrong with that script, but yeah, it's just cool to see and just like having that variety and all that stuff. So. And speaking of variety,
that generative energy, it's all about creative, you know, creative. You got to find a way to tap into your creative self, right? But you were going to say?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I thought it was a good time to get into the lineup for this conference coming up, because quite a bunch of familiar conscious cats that I'm collaborated with already, and you even more so. But yeah, just to pull that up real quick. Starting from the left to top down to the right, we got Nate Kapp, Will Keller, Jim Adams, One Great Wolf Warriors, Jake Jackson, Chris Nelson, you, Chris Jansen, Conrad Rogos, Brandon Martin, Brandon Spencer, myself, Dustin Plattner, Jackie Krasna, Sarah Cross, get that crosstalk, and the lovely Leslie Powers, who, yeah, she does the Dissolving Divide with myself, and you're a fortunate fella to be her partner. And she's also, along with Will Keller, the co-collaborators and organizers of this conference. And it's when I think about y'all, it's just, I think of family, you know what I mean? And it's just a beautiful thing what you guys are doing, and the folks that you've rounded up so far. And pretty much almost everyone on that list we've had on Dissolving the Divide, actually. So that's just you get that like twinkle in your eye of just the waves of gratitude and appreciation or admiration rather, of seeing these folks that we've collaborated in the past come together once again for quite a extravagant event. So yeah.
Yeah, we're reaching out to some musicians too. We're gonna have some music.
Even
Theo, we're not exactly sure what that's all gonna be yet, but we're pulling it together.
Yeah, no, Leslie reached out to Theo Luke's for a couple little groovy interludes and all that stuff. Yeah, man.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, so any words or thoughts on or insights on, you know, what some of these folks are bringing to the table?
We're just kind of reaching out to folks for titles, and they're just sort of slowly starting to dribble in. But that should be our next announcement. I would say somewhere next week, maybe one more week after that, we'll be able to announce everybody's presentation titles. And I know mine, you know, I could talk about mine, but I don't want to give up anybody else's ideas. Yeah, I know everybody's in the early stages of their presentation for the most part. So it's probably too soon to say, but I can guarantee it's going to be mind-opening information. I know in the past, it's like so much amazing information to take in at once. It's like hard for my brain to bear it all. And it sure does, like you're saying, it kind of builds that family feeling. And like we've had some friends out there, like people that have shown up on some of the groups and social media that we've never actually met, that ever since Funnel 1 or Funnel 2 or Funnel 3, they've been like, We know them by name, you know, and now they're sort of like, I'm sure if we met in person, we'd probably get along great. But it's like there is this connection that forms with every passing conference of some of the same people showing up and then some new people that get new enthusiasm. And, you know, it's really cool. It's really cool to be part of that growing family.
Yeah, definitely. And it's really cool to see Jim Adams, like he's going to be doing his first presentation ever and that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
look forward to that. He inspired our group, the One Great Work Warriors, to, you know, have this topic regarding the book Ishmael. So that'll be a cool grounding experience to watch him put on a cool display. And yeah, no, Nate Kapp is always going to come with some pretty top-notch material, as well as his, you know, way he conveys and portrays, you know, he's an actual artist, right? So yeah, like, and just like him putting up all these really cool slides, it's like really intriguing to the eyes, if you will. And
you know, I think in many ways, every person on this list has proved themselves to be an artist because they've all put amazing things out onto the media for other people to find that are created from their heart, you know? And so these are amazing artists. And even if they aren't recognized as the way they should be in this generation, I suspect the day will come when people will look back and be like, man, look what these people were doing. You know, why weren't others listening, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. In the, on the streets or in hip hop slang, it's like, why are you sleeping on these folks? You know, kind of like. But, yeah, looking forward to folks like, Jackie Krasna. She's, pretty deep into tarot. So it's going to be cool to see her bring something it might not even be about that, you know. And Sarah Cross has been killing it this year. She's on revolution.radio with you know, Crip Rick, one of our fellow warriors and you know, past contributors to or organizers for the conference. And yeah, he put out a presentation as well. So yeah, looking forward to Leslie's presentation regarding like music as well.
Yeah. Cool.
Then Conrad up in the place. Watch out. I want to see him bust out that Polish accent, but I know he's just out in Chicago type of stuff. But anyways.
Yeah, and Chris, I'm really looking forward to see what Chris Nelson's got. He's just...
Yeah.
He's always got a good way of putting things, and his graphics are top-notch. So, yeah, that'll be good. Brandon Spencer, man, he always knocks it out of the park. He's just got such... And his skills have been, you know, expanding by tenfold in the last few years, it seems like.
Yeah, I love folks like him and Will Keller that it seems like that's like their strong points of doing these types of presentations, and makes me want to just like encourage other people to create more conferences so they can put out more presentations, you know, like
Cool. I don't know when you're going to release this, but Will's actually doing his spirituality presentation, I think, Sunday, tomorrow.
Oh, he is. Oh, cool. I'm surprised I didn't get a... So, I didn't see that on YouTube. I don't know if he...
He advertised it, but I just happened to be in conversation with him this week. So weird. Mm.
Yeah, I wish I had time to... And a means to... hang out with them for at least a day or something like that when I was out in California. I wish I had more time to come, you know, back up to Reading and kick it with y'all again. Like, shit. Like.
Yeah, but it was neat that you made it. It was fun.
Yeah, and speaking of which, you know, we're doing a video, and it was, we had more to it, but, you know, it was... seemed more focused on like doing a little Dissolving the Divide thing. And that was really cool what he did in regards to like, you know, filming Leslie and I and asking questions, kind of like a cool little walk and talk interview style. And yeah, that was really cool. So I wanted that, you know, have that marinate and this and that, but, yo, Chris, man, what's up? Fuck yeah, man. Yeah, that'd be great, man. I really appreciate the opportunity to come up there and kick it and all that shit. All right, cool. Yeah, and watch out, because I'm going to bring that Natty Law up, you know. You know, it's like... and I love how Brandon Spencer kind of, you know, he's got that natural law catchphrase, whatever, you know. And it's... Man, if we ever hit the streets, it'd be cool to walk up to folks and be like, hey, man, you got that natural law? Yeah, we'll see. I know time's limited and all that good stuff, but, yeah, man, kicking it with a purpose. Hell yeah. Well, yeah, I'll see you soon, brother man. I'm hit the road, and we'll see how it goes. All right, peace, man. And once again, sneak attack. Well, not, it's not an attack. Once again, in the lab where we try to end evil. Did I catch you at a bad moment? Oh my god, you're at work. Holy shit.
Okay, here we go.
So we're trying to share ideas, get something cracking for the conference maybe. Share a lot of philosophical, spiritual, and enlightening information.
Dicks.
There he is, ready to go, off to fight. Actually, no, it's not a fight. It's more of a cooperation, I guess.
Yep, off to learn a little bit.
Yeah.
Steps. Oh yeah, dude.
Get him.
You got that natural law with you? It's probably in every bag, yo. I try to know enough, but there's always so much more to learn. It's that daily operation, and
yearn to learn. I'm out to earn right now.
Because we ain't got money to burn.
I don't got money to burn.
Fuck. All right. Let that butter churn. So we're at a place called Lowe's, and apparently it really blows. And so how does it really go?
No, I mean, it just kind of got us thinking, talking about customer service and how it's changed. I've noticed a big change over the last 3 years, especially ever since that pandemic, scamdemic. It's like there's still a lot of good people, like especially up here in Reading. I notice a lot of the stores,
you got
people that will talk to you, but on the whole, customer service has drastically gone downhill. And
so Lowe's isn't that pro, or
no? It's good. In there to pick up, they got the whole thing guided towards. You're supposed to put it on your app of your phone, and like, you know, if you're a young person and you're used to apps and you're used to technology and cell phone, that's all pretty straightforward. But you know, as older folks and folks that are even a little generation on us, it's like that stuff's so hard to understand, and you don't know what to do, and it's very impersonal. You know?
Yeah, right. It's like we're missing that human element, more of it, and like for you know us, you know, we're on the computer all the time. So like the less internet bullshit like that, the better, in a sense, right? It's like just
you know, like for instance, right now we don't really know.
They said, yeah, there's some guy coming, but it could be like when right now. I thought it was, you know, waiting for us. Like,
are we supposed to then go hunt them down and ask them? Yeah. And it's funny, we were talking on the way over here too about like with taxes and stuff, and like parking in the own town that you've worked your whole life,
or yeah, man,
already been taxed for whatever 20, 30, 40 years of your life, and then you go to park like downtown of the city that has been collecting your money for all these years, and they're gonna charge you to park, or even threaten to kidnap you or take extra money from your pocket for parking in an area that realistically should have already been paid for by money that you've been putting in your whole life. It's been taken right out of your check, and
but apparently they didn't have enough.
Pay someone to patrol and to tax me. Why would I want to pay to have someone tax me to park in the city that I already paid to live in? You know, it's like, why didn't you already apply that money towards providing a comfortable place for me to put my vehicle? You know, I mean, how many years of paying taxes have you till you earn the right to park in your own town? You know, it's like that kind of thing, or you know, it's just respect, general respect, and how we treat people is not being honored in the modern world. And that to me really ties in with our last topic of transhumanism, AI
changing. That's
people
a great episode,
are just kind of allowing it to happen in so many ways, because these structures, these big box stores, these, you know, non-human kind of entities, you know.
And that's where we have the corporate finances. They got that clout where they can afford to pay forward and like invest in all this tech and like have it, you know, be implemented throughout their stuff, like, you know, with these lockers that they have and the pickup. And what's funny, and you would think that it was convenient and efficient, right? But even went online to, you know, okay, I'm put status like I'm coming to pick it up now. So they should have got the memo and already had it like ready for us to pick up, and like I'll be here for like 15, we're going on like 20 minutes here already.
We don't really know if they're coming or not.
Not like we're impatient bastards, but you know, like,
hey, you know, like their time is money, right?
Yeah, and you got shit to do. Yours is too, right?
You know, so.
You got a job.
This time, so.
Yeah, what were you going to work on with the materials you're getting?
Oh, making a deck? Flooring.
Flooring, okay,
yeah,
cool.
Flooring, yeah.
What kind of... It obviously depends on the square footing, but like a project like that, how many days or hours, I guess, on average, would something like that take?
Usually, like, this is like a 500 square feet of flooring, usually 1 or 2 days.
Yeah. That's a big ass truck.
Yeah.
5 days, you said?
1 or 2 days.
Oh, 1 or 2 days. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Just for, right on. You know, pretty small room or two rooms, you know. It only takes a couple of days. Cool. Panel type flooring. This one's a little trickier because it's a circular.
Oh yeah.
So it's
okay.
Not gonna be square cuts, which will definitely add to the installation time.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. Circle the square, right?
Yeah, I think maybe I'll go check in on these fools.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll be back.
He's trying to call my name. No, it totally wasn't paid attention.
No, shit. Mission accomplished, though?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right, cool.
Return. Got free water out of it.
What? Damn, nice.
What can you ask for?
I don't know, man. How was the job today?
We got it. We made a couple bucks. We're working for people in the public. You know, they got some work done.
Yeah, totally.
Trading some time and energy for some money. Trying to keep the government out of that scenario.
Hell yeah.
Me and you and.
Hell yeah.
A little project, John?
Yeah, it's been fun. Painting, doing a little texture.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we're going to talk to the crew tonight. Well, you are.
Oh, yeah. Another meeting. We've got meetings every week and trying to keep the one great work alive.
Yeah, the balance of life,
keep
you know?
The teams going. And
yeah.
Take one step forward every day, every week.
Oh, yeah.
Things.
And then the Warriors meeting on Wednesday
night.
Wednesday,
we got the one great work for you. Yeah, tonight's our mastermind. So.
Always on the grind. That's great, yeah.
Just working.
Hell yeah. But that's why they call it net work, because there actually is some work involved, right? There's, you know, time you have to get.
Especially
give
if you're a fisherman, because then you got a real net.
Yeah. Yeah. Try to be a spiritual fisherman.
Fisherman,
you know,
of ideas.
Yeah, exactly. Casting lines that are divine, and, you know.
This is the cast.
There you go. Boom. We're outcasting right now. But yeah, we're going to go take care of some more work. Yeah.
Move on to the next project.
Yeah, buddy. All right. That's the one, yo, yeah. I finally got one strike on camera for you.
That was my third of the
week. Oh, shit.
You can win this one. What do you call that?
Turkey time? Holy shit. I'm going down this time, and that's a good thing. All right, we got time for one more Warriors meeting. Check this out real quick.
The black box.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, he's about to start recording. Yeah. Right. So when Leslie was like, "Who took that picture?" I already knew.
I guess you.
Because Derek finds you. Yeah, he was just like this.
You gotta love that element of surprise.
You know what I say? I was feeling like the Truman Show. All of a sudden. I'm like, oh yeah, there's like always this eyeball watching me.
Yeah. What's cracking?
Crack-a-lacking.
Job done. Are you looking for that natural law?
Yeah, just to kind of finish and you know, the video I'm talking about, we were in front of Lowe's and this and that, and yeah, like working with triangles and squares, being a constructor that you are and the master builder, you got to get supplies like all the time and that kind of stuff. And so you've noticed changings in just like in general of just how customer service, you know, should normally be, if you will, and like the good quality stuff and like kind of like the low end of it.
Lowest quality. That's what they got, man. Oh shit. Yeah, it's like I'm pretty patient, you know. I feel like most of the time I'm pretty patient with people, but like my dad was not so patient with people, especially when it came to customer service. He was one of those that would be like, you know, he would speak right up when he didn't get good customer service, and he'd be the first one to, you know, raise his voice until the manager had to come out, and he didn't worry about making a scene. So I've spent most of my life kind of being the opposite of that, like almost too quiet sometimes. But I sure have changed over the years, and there, I feel like when COVID happened, there is like this marking point of all of a sudden customer service like flipped backwards. And it was the first time in history when like you could kick people out of your store just because you didn't like they weren't wearing a mask, or you could try to say that you needed to see people's temperature before they come into your establishment or something like that. Like weird requirements that are so different from no shirt, no shoes, no service is like a whole nother world of splitting people up, causing division and losing customers in a way that's hard for me to imagine. Like they used to tell me when I was young that if you lost one customer, then they go tell their friends and they tell their family, and that could amount to $700,000 of business a business loses. But it was like all of a sudden that's all out the window, and no one's worried about losing. Honestly, there's certain stores I don't even shop in anymore, Trader Joe's being one. I've always loved that store, but they were such they were so not cool during COVID that I don't even like going in their store anymore. REI is another one. I love REI. I've shopped REI my whole life, but they were so rude to me on one day, and it left such a mark that I'll probably never shop in their store if I can avoid it again. And I don't know how many other people have gone through these same things, but when we were there talking at Lowe's, I think what we were both kind of noticing was that it kind of seemed like they sort of cared and they sort of didn't care about our business, right? Like I got some real kind of brief instructions of where we were supposed to go stand. And the whole time we were standing there, we were like, how long are we supposed to stand here? There's no one here to tell us we're even standing in the right place. For all we know, this wasn't what she meant. You know, maybe she meant some other bay or some other place, you know.
Yeah, we went in to ask and confirm that, right? And then like
we finally did at the end of that recording there, and they were finally bringing the wood.
Lo and behold, right? Yeah.
Lo and behold. I've had some pretty disappointing experiences at that same store previously, is why we started that conversation. I was telling you a little bit about that. It does seem like that one particularly is geared more towards people that do sales and stuff over the cell phone, because they have all this like cell phone technology up front, and all these stores more and more have gone over to check yourself out, right? And which is really weird, because I mean, it's asking you to kind of like work for them, you know, in a weird way, to do their job, you know. It's like,
bag your own groceries, bitch. No, just
yeah. They're looking a lot of ways. The whole customer service thing has changed drastically. I was looking right before our conversation. I was looking for, I had that song in my head, Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream, you know, because it was like Back to the Future. I found it. And it's like when Marty gets sent back to the 1950s and he's looking at the gas station. And like when a car pulls up to the gas station in the 1950s, like all the employees ran out and filled up the gas and cleaned the tires and checked your windshield wipers. And, you know, maybe the movie was a little silly, exaggerating it. But that is the difference between customer service, even when I was young, as to what it is now. In a lot of places you go in where it's almost like you're the enemy being, you know, or like you try to call whatever company to deal with a problem, and they're like, if you would like to push 0, you know, it's like a bunch of numbers you have to push, and then there's no way to talk to a human at all, and they're only certain hours, and they're not helpful, you know. I mean, I'm experiencing it across the board, and I don't even know how to. I actually know personally some kind of older folks in their 80s. And they struggle so much with this stuff, man, because so many stores, so many things you buy, so many medical things you try to deal with, there's no way around going online and doing stuff. And if you're from, you know, if you're 80 years old right now, that is not easy, especially if you have trouble hearing and people are being irritable with you when you ask them to repeat what they said. And that kind of thing is like rampant now. It's like across the board. So I don't know, what's your experience like in France? But I mean, there's been a degradation here in the US big time everywhere I've been.
Damn. Well, the stereotypes are exaggerated, but it does allude to the fact that, you know, like the customer service is not as much as America. And like, I've joked around with people out here like for a while of just how, like, compared to even like some kind of restaurant, I mean, this, like, the people aren't bad. They're not assholes. They're not a bunch of arrogant fucks like a lot of people think the French people are. They're just really understaffed in a lot of areas because the cost of labor is so fucking high because companies are taxed ridiculously on them. Like, they're paying almost, you know, let's say I made 4,000 euros for the company, I guess, in a month. I'm only going to see maybe 2,000 or whatever. And they have to pay like 2,000 to the state or whatever the fuck. It's, as an example, that's, you know, arbitrary, of course, and it might not be 50-50 like that, but it's not that far off. But when the funny thing that I would say to some people, in a little exaggeration of how, like, the like pre-COVID, at least, you know, in some places, customer service was like so over the top that, you know, I'd be like, yeah, like these the staff members would wipe your ass so the toilet, you know, if you had to go use the bathroom. That was like, but yeah, it's a little over the top. Sorry,
that's some shitty customer service right there.
Touche. Yeah, but what I wanted to say, because you mentioned the whole Back to the Future stuff, when I was back in California and talking to my dad, we had a conversation about that in a car ride to Southern California, actually, and saying that that was more of a normal thing to see of yeah, they'd check your tires, you know, fill the gas, and like, you don't leave your car and this and that. So it seems like it, you know, looking back on it now that what we're used to, it seems like, wow, these folks were pampered, but that was just like the norm over there. And there still are places like in Oregon where it's not a self-service gas station. Most of the time people will fill up your, you know, tank for you. You don't get out of the car for that. You might get out of the car to go pay at the cashier spot, but yeah. So, that's just one thing. So the main thing I wanted to mention, and what I've noticed, it's not that far off from what I noticed, whether France, working with colleagues in France, or working with colleagues in America, working in restaurants, being a server, being a bartender, all these things. People lack presence of just being there. They lack just like the proactivity of and applying themselves and actually trying to make do with whatever job situation you're at, like whatever the fuck you can, position and field you're at, you can still, like, even if it's just within yourself, like, be the best you can within that position. You know, it doesn't matter what anyone fucking thinks about you, because you might get criticized or whatever, whether you do a good job or bad job. It doesn't fucking matter. You know, all management and micromanagement aside. And yeah, it can, you know, fuck with, you know, people's heads and, you know, demoralize work staff and stuff. And like, it is a shitty environment to be like helicopter fucking management, that kind of stuff. But if one is just, you've noticed when you're shopping at, you know, whatever type of store, that, you know, if someone's like really in the groove, like even a cashier, just like having a smile on their face and just like being engaging, being present in the moment with whatever customer that they're dealing with, and being able to be open-minded and open-hearted to listening to the inquiries and questions and complaints that said customer might have, and just looking for a solution to figure it out, you know?
Yeah, and then trying to impose any kind of rule on another human being is such a silly thing. And I think those situations really just like kind of flushed out the BS in people's minds, at least for some of us. You know, what I realized, one thing, especially about like shopping, like grocery store shopping, for instance, it's kind of silly, you know. And so many times in so many places all through history, you've had to gather your own food, grow your own food, or trade it directly with someone. It's a weird world now where there's this disconnect between my mouth and where that food comes from in a lot of cases. But there's still part of me that really desires like a caring connection with the person I get my food from. I thought a lot about this, why, you know, after COVID, after some of my experiences of going shopping and feeling uncomfortable and judged in different ways, or just not treated the way I feel like I should have been treated. Like, I don't want to put food in my mouth that I bought from somebody who was rude to me. And that sounds stupid, but like, I really want that to be a positive transaction. You know, wherever I, that's what makes like a fast food place always feel more and more uncomfortable over the years. You kind of look in the back and you see what people are doing and how they're dressed, and you almost see their attitude on their face that sometimes they just don't care. They're just here because they need to be here because their life is stressful, you know, and they're barely there. They're barely hanging on, you know, and you can see it. I remember one time walking into a fast food joint with my family, and we kind of decided last minute to stop. And I'm like, I turned around, I'm like, we're not eating here. And they're like, why, Dad? And I'm like, just, we're not. You know, I took one look at the staff and the way they were acting and the look on their face and the whole scene behind. And I'm like, no, I would not eat anything from that. That's all needs to be said. You know, it's like, somehow there has to be more respect for life itself. The fact that whether it's animals dying for you to eat or plants dying for you to eat, or just there's energy in motion for us to keep living. And that has value to it that is worth more than it's getting in some cases. Let me put it that way. And so it's like, I think we need to really value these transactions of trade when it comes to our vital resources and how we get them. And maybe that energetics matters too to the body. I don't know how we feel when we eat it and how we feel when we get it. Maybe it does come into play, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just thinking about people not properly digesting the thoughts or experience that they had with a rude waiter at a restaurant, that kind of stuff. And they're like eating their food, and that's not gonna, you know,
Undigested thoughts, undigested feelings, right?
So yeah,
gassy all of a sudden.
That's a cool thing you mentioned, and I appreciate you kind of standing on those principles of just avoiding that negative type of energy that can be transferred into your dining experience, let alone your gut, right? So yeah, man, and for your family as well, and. Yeah, I know exactly. I had a funny image in my mind when he said that. And yeah, I see the type. It just, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the video we did with the Warriors with the zombie stuff, you know, and just like sleepwalking through life a little bit and being a robot at work in a sense. And just, you're just going through the motions. Like, why? Like, we all make money, I guess, to pay the bills and all this stuff, and you have to be at a place at this, you know, current space and time to make ends meet, whatever the fuck. Are you gonna sulk about it, or actually have, because it's just like that draining energy, and they wonder why when they come home they're just completely drained from a day of work and this and that. For me, like, it's going to work at restaurants these, you know, for years now, like, it's like an escape. It's almost vacation, because I'm not like stuck in behind of a computer all the time doing all this shit, you know. Like, not like this is a bad thing, but it's a really cool and a stark change from, you know, the great work to just like, okay, I'm like working in a restaurant, I get to see people, and like there's beautiful women and like interesting fellas and that
smells kind of food. Yeah,
yeah. So, you know, I just make a cool experience of it, you know, like we always have that choice, you know, like, what is it going to be, y'all? And I was wondering if you've noticed something in regards to all that and the quality of course, it's hard to generalize, but for generalization's sake, to make it simple, have you noticed this is a trend with the younger generations, older generations, or our generation, X and semi-millennial?
Yeah, I've never been too great with those terms. I guess I'm a Generation X. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, how can it not change with the technology? I mean, everyone our age talks about the phones. We've all seen that. When we were kids, this cell phone thing did not exist. And there's a drastic change in the way people behave. So we've seen that. All the technology that when I grew, I always remember when I get together with friends from my childhood, we remember the neighborhoods we were in as a kid. And we remember all of us playing outdoors on bikes and skates and scooters and shooting marbles into holes. Not to say we didn't spend time video games, because we did a lot of that too. But we spent a lot of time outdoors as kids. And over the years, the areas I've lived, you just don't see the kids out there anymore. The same areas where we were out there, you go out there 5-10 years later, they're not out there. This whole thing we're talking about with customer service, you see that reflected in parent and child relationships, the whole idea of respect, which I understand why it goes too far when it becomes authoritarianism, but respecting people just because they've lived, you know, used to be a thing. It's not anymore. You could live a whole life and have all kinds of life experience and have done all kinds of things, and you're going to get zero respect from a young person these days. You know, they're not going to see you as someone that deserves any kind of respect. You're going to get criticism. That's more common in today's world than it was, because that's something that's taught by the elders to the next generation, to respect your elders. And it's taught by them being good examples of human beings. So there's too many cases where humans have not been very good examples, and too many adults and parents haven't been great examples. So naturally, the next generation doesn't have a lot of respect for what seems obvious to them, a bunch of neglect and lack of caring behavior. You know, if the parents aren't there providing for the children and giving them the things they need and teaching them the things they need to learn, then they're going to feel neglected, right? And they're going to not have that respect that we would hope to have. And the same with our stores. If they can just sell you crap and they don't have to be nice, then they're not going to spend the money on training their employees to be kind to you, you know, because they don't need to. They can get your money. And when you have a monopoly on all the energy in four towns, and all you have to do is light a little fire and you get to rebuild the whole structure again and charge the state for it, you know, you got a pretty good setup. You could charge whatever you want, and you could just have people wait endlessly on hold when they try to call up problems and don't care and just don't help them. And you could have medical systems that let people die left and right in the name of supposedly saving them, you know, and that's the world we're in right now. Where can you imagine how many people died just because they didn't get the care they needed, because hospitals weren't doing their job for the last 3 years, their supposed job of, you know, chemically burning people slowly and, you know, surgically removing parts of people's body that probably never needed to be removed. You know what I'm saying? But people get reliant on their cut, burn, torture methods that they're expecting that to work. And then all of a sudden it stopped working. And all these whole people are told they're supposed to stay indoors and not go outside, and they got no access to their doctor. So that's all in the name of health. You know, I'm going on a tangent, but these things, the way they all interconnect is they have to do with what we were talking about, is respect and being committed, fully committed to doing what's right. And so, you know, heading towards the end of the conversation, I'm always trying to give some advice to the listeners, right? Give some takeaway points. I guess to me, the takeaway point in all this is develop respect for life itself, for your own body, you know, respect for your time and your energy. Don't waste your time and energy on meaningless crap. What really matters, and is worthwhile to invest your time and energy of your days in. If you have to do something to survive, you have to do it to survive, fine. But the rest of the time that you don't have to do something, you could be doing something heroic, something that leaves a legacy towards future generations, rather than what our previous generation left us with was a pile of crap. You know, we could do better. Leave them with something to work with, you know?
Yeah, and it could just be one's self just living a good life, a good moral life. That's something to aspire to, and it's a good role model, you know, all these things. And yeah, like the inspiring care is walking with that heart-based intelligence 24/7. And that is a great compass to have within the seat of your soul, and to properly maneuver through the matrix and all these things, right? So yeah, it also acts like a repellent towards all the bullshit, and we could, you know, sift through that and deal with it in real time and get along throughout the day where others aren't ruffled, yet we're still able to shine a light where it's needed sometimes, whatever. And yeah, feathers could get ruffled, whatever, like it's not for the birds, and we're not talking about language of the birds all the time, but not to get off those, you know, play on words of tangents and all that stuff. But yeah, like we're not able to see into the future and pick and choose how people are going to interpret and react to what we have to say, or how we convey ourselves and these interactions and all these things, right? So yeah, I just try to keep an open mind to people being able to redeem themselves, correct themselves, as well as myself, first and foremost, right? So yeah, it's like that reflection I have for myself onto others, I guess, you know, and having that door open for maybe a limited time, depending on if people just continue. You can tell by people's, you know, constant, you know, behavioral patterns, and if it's good or bad and this and that, have some discernment and all that stuff. So yeah. But yeah, I guess what can you do? We can't let them get in the way, and we can inspire them just by continuing that great work path to, we don't even have to say anything in their direction. Just keep doing what's right. And hopefully people will recognize and realize that, and maybe take steps towards acting more appropriately in that manner, I guess.
Well, I would say a good test is, do you inspire yourself? You know what I mean? Because if you don't look at something you've done in the past year or the past months and say, man, that was pretty awesome. If you don't do anything to surprise or inspire yourself, you're not doing enough. You know, you need to be a hero in your own eyes. What's that going to take? And think about that. I don't think people, no one tells their children that, you know, you need to be your own hero. You need to be proud of yourself. That's the goal. Work on that. If you're proud of yourself and you see yourself as a hero, if everybody was working towards that, imagine what it would be like, you know?
Yeah, instead of it's like, be your own hero, be your own savior. And amidst all the savior programming and all this stuff, whether it be through Politrics or, you know, all these, you know, superhero movies where people are, you know, acting all vicariously through this fantasy of these things. But, you know, it's the external thing. They're not like internalizing that hero's journey within themselves, because they haven't really initiated themselves to that thing, right? So yeah, to inspire people to get on that path. Yeah, so it's a beautiful thing. So yeah, brother. Mm-hmm. I guess with that being said, really looking forward to this conference. I really want to rock it and showcase what I've learned from us learning around, but also just collaborating with a lot of y'all as well. So yeah, I'm just agape, you know, I love it. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. Can't wait to see what everyone comes up with. And listeners, check out freedomundernaturallaw.com and share it. Share it with your friends. Help us spread the word. Everybody's job out there is to inspire others. So, yeah, go to freedomundernaturallaw.com and tell your friends.
Yeah. And check out Chris Jensen's End Evil podcast. You got
Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Exactly. It's quite terrific. So, yeah. And consistent, which is, yeah, like, got to give you a, you know, huge respects for that, because that ain't easy at all, especially with having a family, having a great partner, and having a hell of a job too, you know. So yeah.
Remember
hellified,
what
man.
Was that 2 years ago where I was giving David a ride home in the snowstorm?
Yeah.
And you and Leslie started the stream for me from the computer. You guys go, what button do I push? I was like, do it, hit it. And you're like,
show must go on. Yes. Yeah,
Chewy, hit it.
Yeah, that was great. And shout out to David Rodriguez. He's out there in Reading doing his thing, volunteering and being a pretty cool comedian as well. He's inspiring you to do that as well, right? Or what's up with that? Yeah, man. You hit the stage a couple times, or what's up?
Yeah, on the I did a couple amateur nights. So
if
I get a good enough show, I'll broadcast it somehow or another.
Oh, hell yeah, man. Oh, I should have stuck around for that one. Yeah.
We got more in store. We got a lot of fun stuff in store this year for the End Evil podcast. There's a lot of good things coming. So, if you guys haven't, too, go to endevil.life. And there, I have an email list. Always encourage people to sign up for that. There's going to be some opportunities to kind of get on the inner circle, the End Evil podcast inner circle. So, there will be some progress there soon. So sign up while you can.
Yeah, definitely. And stay tuned. I love, the fact that you open up the round table for anyone who wants to join on the End Evil podcast sometimes and talk about the relevant subjects that have been kind of circulating through either your works or even the Great Work Warriors works or any old observation that's going on. So yeah, I love the fact you've been keeping it strong all season long, all year long.
Yeah. Yeah, folks, you guys want to listen to some tracks, pop on some Awaken Your Mind. Derek's just constantly putting out collaborations, interviews with other people on Dissolving the Divide and Derek's own musical mixes on Awaken Your Mind. So give him subscribe and like, and just throw that on and listen in the background when you're doing whatever you're doing.
Okay, I appreciate that, man. Well, shit, with that said, that's all I got, man.
Much love. Yeah, yeah, great talk, man. Thanks, Derek. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it was great chatting with you with a lot of stuff, man. Yeah. Hella wise, so yeah. I always appreciate what you have to bring to the table.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, take care out there. Thanks for listening, everyone. And once again, Freedom Under Natural Law, the 22nd of February 2025. Keep it alive and alive and thrive with Leslie Powers, of course. You know, respects you. Peace.
Posted by the fine folks at freedomundernaturallaw.com, with FUNNEL being the acronym. This is number 4 in their series of online conferences. They have a great lineup of guests, speakers, musicians, and presenters of some very important information to inspire true care for real positive action in the world. So come join us February 22nd and 23rd. 2025.
He seeks wisdom instead of gold when it comes to gaining wealth, and knows if he wants the world to change, he must first change himself.
I understand this is you. universal law. Whatever we give out comes back to where we are. We eat what we sow, what we get is what we give. The outcome of us is based on how we live.
Don't you understand, man? Universal law, universal law. Don't you understand? You can't stick talk on the day of judgment. Universal law.
I got the knowledge with the understanding. Night, your work, learn your lesson. I got the knowledge with the understanding. Night, your work, learn your lesson.
So he continues with this process of intake and knowledge, attain and understand, so we apply it then. So he continues with this process of intake and knowledge, attain and understand, so we apply it then. The three basic principles of any decent planning.